And well, over the last couple months, my wife, Erica, has repeatedly looked at the clock, either in the house or on her phone or on her watch, at precisely the moment the time has switched to 11:11. Now, the first couple times, she just kind of laughed and mentioned how, you know, crazy it was that she kept looking at the time when it was 11:11. But then it kept happening again and again and again. Eventually, I started getting screenshot text messages from her, like this one right here, documenting more of this crazy 11:11 phenomenon, right? She'd do the little, you know, handwriting markup thing saying it happened again, right? Now you might be saying, well, big deal, right? We look at clocks in our phones all the time. But this really was quite striking after a while. And although neither of us have ever been people that really, you know, gets caught up too much in signs or coincidences, at a certain point, we couldn't help but ask ourselves, is God trying to tell us something? I mean, is God trying to say something here? And here's what I believe, right? I believe that all of you have had similar moments. In fact, I know many of you are praying big prayers and you are making big decisions right now. And here's what often happens in situations like that, right? You then experience some, you know, crazy coincidences, or you hear songs on the radio, or you see a quote, you know, posted on the internet about that very situation that you are in, and you wonder to yourself, God, is that you? Are you trying to tell me something here? And that's exactly why we began this message series, God, Is That You? Right? It's a four-week series designed to help you hear God's voice and to follow God's leading more in your life. Now, I want to say this before I go on. I really do believe that God can speak to us however he wants and whenever he chooses. I really believe that God can speak to us and push us and nudge us and move us toward what he wants through a song or through a book or through a quote. I just don't want us to depend on that alone, right? Because we don't know how often that's going to happen. We don't know if we can be certain every time that it's actually God's voice, or that it's actually God himself trying to get our attention. And so what I want for us is I want us to be always learning and always growing in our ability to hear God's voice or really to discern God's leading in our lives. And so in this series, I have suggested four questions that I think will help us to do just that. Here are those four questions that we can ask ourselves when we want to know if it's God's voice that we're actually hearing and God's leading that we're actually following. Here's those four questions. Is this consistent with Scripture? Is this affirmed in community? Is this life-giving? And does this take faith to believe? In week one, as we asked the question, is this consistent with Scripture, we learned that God's will is revealed best in God's Word, right? In the Scriptures. In week two, when we asked the question, is this affirmed in community, we learned that it is the people who walk with God in their everyday life that will help you to hear from God more in your own. And today, I want to take some time to examine the next question, which is this. Is this life-giving? You know, is this thing that I'm hearing or this thing that I'm wanting or feeling or leaning toward, is this thing that I'm about to do, this decision I'm about to make, is it producing life in me? Is it producing life for others around me? Right? Because I believe that God's leading in our life, even if it's convicting, even if it's challenging, even if it's hard, I believe it will be life-giving. It will produce new and vibrant life within us. Okay, now this sounds nice and it sounds real cute, but what exactly does that even mean, right? Jesus came that we would have life and have life to the full. The Apostle Paul said that for all who are in Jesus, right, the old life is gone and the new life has come. This is all great and it's all very true, but how do we, right? How do you and how do I really know what life-giving really is, right? How will we know when we are experiencing that kind of life in our own life, right? And because I want to try to answer that for all of you the best way I can, here's what I want to suggest to you today. Here's a key thought that I want to introduce to you today as I talk about all of this. Here's what I want to suggest to you today. Where there is fruit, there is life. Right, we want to know, hey, how do we know if this is life-giving, if life is being produced in us? Here's what we got to know. Where there is fruit, there is life. Erica and I are reminded of this every spring when we fear that we destroyed everything pretty and nice that grew in our yard the year before. Ever since we moved in, we began kind of a slow and methodical repruning of all the landscaping of the house that we bought. And like most things related to home improvement and home and garden or home anything, right, we never know what we're doing, okay? And so we have these bushes in the rock beds that surround our house. And when we moved in, man, they were like out of control. They were huge, overspilling the rock bed. And so I asked a good friend of mine in Chicago who owns a garden center there. I said, man, what do I do with these things? They are absolutely out of control. And he said, in the fall, just trim them all down to just about 12 inches, right? Just trim them down to about 12 inches tall. And I asked him, like, trim the whole thing? I mean, there's some parts that look good. There's some parts that still look alive. Do you trim the whole thing? And he said, yeah, in the fall, trim it all back. So in the fall, I got my clippers and I went to town. And if you know me well, you might know that I'm kind of a perfectionist, right? Everything's got to be even and everything's got to be matching and uniform and it's got to be all the same. And so I kept fixing a little bit over here, trimming a little bit here, and then trimming a little over there, and then I'd even it out over here, and then I have to kind of match it out over there. And then when I was finished, I mean, I stepped away and looked back and I realized, oh my goodness, I just hacked these things to pieces. I mean, like right down to the stump, right down to the roots. I mean, there's like nothing left of this thing. Okay, and so feeling, you know, a little bit defeated maybe and a little bit embarrassed, I told Erica, yeah, I don't know if those things are coming back. You know, like I think I might have killed all of the bushes in the front. But then spring rolled around. Ground thawed, rains came, the sun was shining, and soon little tiny green and red and yellow buds started bursting from the few remaining stems of the bushes that I had obliterated just, you know, 6 months ago. And here's what that told us. They're not dead. Okay? We were so thrilled to see those little tiny green buds because we knew that where there was fruit, where there was growth, where there was blossoming, there was life. Okay? These babies were coming back, and within a few weeks, every spring it's the same. They turn into full, lush, green, growing plants that are, you know, overspilling the rock beds where they were planted. Okay, I think that this is how we know where there is life, where there is fruit, where there is evidence, there's life. Okay, now that's great for a plant. That's great for a flower. That's great for an apple tree. But what about you and me, right? What about human beings? How can we be sure that we are experiencing the same kind of life when we're asking this question? Is this life-giving? How do we know? Okay. The good news for you and me is that the Bible does tell us about the fruit that should be evident in our lives. The Bible talks about what should be growing and what should be producing in us. The Bible talks about what kind of evidence there should be in us that there is life, right? Talks about this kind of fruit. And it's known as, some of you will know this, it's known as the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, and what I want you to know is that this, and I want you to know, right? I want you to know what this fruit is, right? I want you to know what this fruit is because where there is this kind of fruit in you and in me, there is life the way that God intended it to be. Okay, that is the role of the Spirit, right? To lead us to the very life that God intended. And so I want to read about it, right? We read about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. This is the apostle Paul, as he's referred to, right? He wrote this this letter to the people and to the churches in the city of Galatia, which is in modern-day Turkey. And Paul usually wrote letters to people in churches throughout the first century world to address something that wasn't right, to address some kind of issue, to address some kind of problem that was going on. And so here, what wasn't quite right in Galatia is the fact that Christians there had really kind of given into quite easily. They had given into their kind of sinful desires. They had given into the desires of their flesh, as it says, all in the name, you got to get this, right? All in the name of freedom in Christ, okay? Given into their sinful desires, all in the name of freedom in Christ. They're going, man, hey, man, there's freedom in Christ, right? We're free to do as we please. God told us we can do whatever we want. And so Paul's letter to the Galatians, in many ways, it was meant to sort some of that out. Okay? And so here's what he has to say to them in verse 13. He says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters." He's going, yeah, absolutely. You've been called to live in freedom. But listen to this. "But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love." He wants them to know, yes, there is freedom in Christ, but no, that doesn't give you a license to just, you know, do whatever it is that your mind can imagine or that your heart can dream of, right? If you do just whatever, you know, whatever you want, whatever feels good to you, he wants them to know you are being driven by and you're being led by something that is not God's leading. Okay, he's trying to help them to understand that really, if you boil it down, that there are two competing forces within us, right? Fighting to be the force that is leading us. You know, there's two forces within you fighting to be the force that is leading and guiding you. You can be led by the flesh, right? I'm free to do what I want, or led by the Spirit. I'm free to do what God wants, free to do what God has asked of me, free to do what God has called me to do. And so here's what Paul says. Skip down to verse 16. "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." He says, let the Spirit guide you, right? The very literal translation of this says, walk by the Spirit. In other words, right, make decisions and choices in your everyday life, in your everyday coming and going, according to the way that God's Spirit is leading, okay? And that's what this series is all about, knowing how God would lead us and knowing how God would guide us in the decisions that we make in our everyday life. And the truth is, God's Spirit was given to us to be that guide, okay? God leads us through His Spirit to the life that He intended for us. Okay? For those who have opened their hearts to Jesus, right, the Spirit is at work within us, okay? But there is also another force at work as well, right? The desire of our flesh. And so Paul compares the two. He goes on to say, man, if you're following your sinful nature, that's only going to produce all kinds of immorality, he says, idolatry, hostility, jealousy, envy, anger, division, dissent, and so much more. He's saying, man, this is where the flesh is going to lead you. Now, what about the Spirit? Skip down to verse 22 and 23. He says this, but the Holy Spirit, listen to this. He says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Okay, this is what I want us to hear today, right? Because what I've suggested to you is that where there is fruit, there is life. Where there is fruit, there is real freedom. And so here's the fruit that Paul says the Spirit produces in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He says, there is no law against these things. In other words, there is no time when it is wrong to pursue any of these attributes, any of this fruit in your life. There will be a time when it's going to be wrong or hurtful or damaging to you or others to pursue the desires of your flesh. But he's going, man, there will never be a wrong time. Never be a wrong time to pursue this kind of fruit in your life. Because where there is this kind of fruit, there is life. And that's the way the Spirit guides, to life in Christ, to freedom in Christ, to life as God intended it to be. So here's what I want to get at today, right? When we're asking ourselves, God, is that you? When we're asking, God, is this the way that you're leading? Is this what you would really have me do right now? Maybe more helpful than the question, is this life-giving? Maybe it's the question, is this love producing? Is this joy producing in me? Is this peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control producing in my life? See, what if these were the questions that we use to examine some of the decisions that we make in our everyday lives? What if these were the questions that we were asking? Is this fruit producing in me? What if we asked, hey, is this producing in me the kind of love that most clearly reflects the heart of God the Father? Is what I'm about to do or say or decide or post, is it going to help others to catch a glimpse of the heart and the love that God has for them? And if not, then maybe it's not for me. Okay, we got to ask, is this producing in me the kind of love that reflects the heart of God? We got to ask this question, is this producing joy? Okay, now we need to be careful about this. It's not asking, will this make me happy? That's not what joy is all about. Will I like this? Will this feel really good, right? That's kind of the issue that the Galatians were at odds with. Like, hey, I'm free to do what makes me happy. But the full, you know, like biblical concept of joy, real joy, it means that we are truly, truly, truly rejoicing for the salvation that God has made possible. And because of it, we put all affections, all devotion into His will, into His purpose His purposes for us. And we find joy in all of it. All of His will, all of His purposes for us. We find joy in it. Okay? We got to ask ourselves, is this producing in me peace? Right? And it's not, you know, like peace as in like peace and quiet after a long, stressful day, but peace that comes from God Himself. Look, Romans 5, verses 1 to 2 says this: therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. True peace that the Spirit would lead us to. True peace, it's not the absence of noise. It's not the absence of, you know, like commotion or our activity. It's confidence that comes from knowing I have been made right with God through Jesus. And I can freely and confidently approach God and trust God at all times and in all things. There's peace. But there's peace in knowing that God is near and that God is accessible, okay? And so if we're asking ourselves, is this life-giving, we can also ask, is this going to bring this kind of peace in our lives? We got to ask, too, is this going to produce patience in me? And once again, we have to know that this is not talking, you know, about patience as in patience with our kids who have just asked if they can watch a show for the 27th time in a 5-minute span. It's not the kind of patience that I'm talking about, okay? You know, I'm not talking about patience, you know, waiting at a red light or patience for, you know, your packages to arrive from Amazon now that Prime shipping takes a couple days longer than the 2 days that it guarantees you, right? Patience that the Spirit produces in us is a patience that shows we are in step and we are in line with God's plan and God's timetable rather than our own. And that we have abandoned our own ideas and our own preferred schedule for how the world should work, right? That's patience that the Spirit produces in us. We can ask, is this going to produce kindness, right? Kindness that shows compassion and generosity and sympathy toward others, right? This too is one of the very attributes of God Himself. Romans 2:4 says this: don't you see how wonderfully kind and tolerant and patient God is with you. Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? Friends, let me ask you this. What if my kindness or your kindness to one another could turn hearts from sin? Okay, whether it's in line or in person or in the midst of sharp disagreement or heated debate, what if it was our kindness to people who we didn't think deserved it, much like we didn't deserve God's kindness? What if it was that very kindness that turned people from sin or turned people from hate or turned people from judgment? What if it was that very kindness that turned people from dark to light? If there is that kind of fruit in our lives, let me tell you, there's going to be a whole lot of life for so many more people. Life the way God intended it. Okay, I know this list is long, but let me finish, right? If we're willing to ask this question, is this life-giving? Let's take it a step further and be willing to ask the question, is this going to produce goodness in me that works for the benefit of others? Is this going to produce faithfulness in me that means that I consistently do what I say I'm going to do? Is this going to produce gentleness in me that means others would find rest and find encouragement and find strength in me and in my presence? Is this going to produce self-control in me? This step that I'm about to take, is it going to show evidence of self-control in my life? Not self-control so that I don't eat that potato chip that I know I shouldn't be eating, but self-control so that I don't follow my own flawed, imperfect nature when it's God's spirit and God's voice and God's leading that I know I want to be following. Mid-Current, if I would have preached this message 6 months ago, right, encouraging these types of questions, right, is it producing this kind of fruit in us? If I would have been encouraging these questions for you to be asking yourself, it would have been very timely 6 months ago. It would have been very timely, very appropriate, very worthy of our time together. But can I just say that in the midst of this very moment, that our country and that our world finds itself in right now, I think it is all the more timely, all the more appropriate, and all the more imperative, all the more vital that you and I, in everything that we say and do, that we would want so much, that we want so badly for this to be the kind of fruit that is evident in our lives. That's evident in our speech, that's evident in our conversation, that's evident in our discussion with one another, that's evident in the way that we follow God's leading. Now, unfortunately, I can't guarantee that asking these questions will mean that we make the right decision, the best decision every time about everything, right? Unless God parts the clouds and shouts down to us, right? I don't know that we'll ever be 100% certain that we're doing exactly what God wants, that we're taking the step that God wanted us to take. But I think that this kind of thoughtfulness, this kind of intentionality increases the possibility exponentially that we're hearing God's voice and following God's lead. And so what I want for you and for me is to build this layer of thoughtfulness. I want to grow in our ability to hear. So I want us to build this layer of thoughtfulness into our everyday choices, into our everyday life, right? Before we say anything or do anything or decide anything or buy anything or post anything, let's ask ourselves, what kind of fruit would this produce in me? Ask ourselves, man, am I being led by my own flawed and by my own imperfect nature that will most often produce only envy and greed and anger and jealousy and so much more? Or am I being led by the Spirit, which will produce fruit in me, fruit in my life, and fruit in the life of others around me? I hope we choose the latter. mid-current, because I believe that where there is fruit, there is life the way that God intended. And the world, our world, needs a whole lot more of it. Let me pray. God, today we give you thanks for your Spirit that you gave to us. On our own, God, I don't know that we'd always end up where we want to be or where you want us to be. And so we thank you for your Spirit, who is our guide to the life and to the freedom that you desire for us. And God, here's what I'm asking for all of us watching today. God, would you raise our antennas? God, would you raise all of our antenna to see and to sense your Spirit more? And would you give us a boldness and courage to follow when we do sense where it is that your Spirit is leading us? God, as we said, as we began today, we want to be a light. We want to be a light to this world, and are praying that you would help us to know when and where and how to do just that. And I'm praying that we would be a light and that our lives would produce love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control for all to see. And we pray that hearts, God, we pray that our hearts or the hearts of others might be turned to you because of it. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus, who was our perfect, perfect example in all of this. We pray this in his perfect name. Amen. Hey, well, thank you so much for tuning in for this series. We've been really excited to be on this journey together, and we will plan to see you right back here at 9 and 10:30 a.m. next week for the fourth and final week in our series, God, Is That You? We'll see you then.